quickly on water baptism. We are baptizing a few today, I think 6 or 7. And we always do this at Easter time. But we decided to change because Easter time is busy in SCC. So, what is the meaning of the word? I'm going to be moving fast. You're going to have the notes on the screen, but I want to move fast because there's a lot of content to cover. What is the meaning of the word baptize or baptism? Let's read Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. The Bible says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And then Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, the word baptizo itself means to be submerged underwater. It means to plunge. It means to dip. It means to cause something to be dipped, something to be totally immersed beneath the surface of water. That's what baptizo means in the Greek. It's not a question. If you're speaking it in the Greek, you don't need to explain anything. You don't need to explain anything. Baptizo, simple, it's clear. It means to go underwater, like a submarine. A submarine is submerged underwater. So when we're talking about being baptized, we're talking about having a pool of water, not a basin of water. Okay, because you can't be submerged in a basin of water. You need a pool of water or a river that is overflowing or at least can cover you. So we are commanded by Christ to baptize believers as a church. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why should we be baptized as believers? Why is it important for us to be baptized? Does Scripture talk about being baptized? Yes, there are several reasons why we should be baptized. And the first reason why we should be baptized is because Jesus gave us an example. Okay? Jesus gave us an example. He himself was baptized when he began ministry in Luke chapter 3. He went to John, and John was refusing to baptize him. And Jesus says, let it be done to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus himself was baptized. If Jesus could be baptized, what more us who believe in his name? And then not only did he set an example, but he commanded it to be done. The Bible says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching and baptizing in the name. So Jesus was giving a command to the disciples to say, as you go, make disciples. And how do you make disciples? You teach them and then you baptize them. In whose name? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus taught this, that we ought to be baptized. And not only that, the disciples, they practiced, they not only commanded it, but they also practiced water baptism. Scripture in the book of Acts, it's got several places. For example, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the disciples went out and did exactly what Jesus told them to do. So we see it being practiced in the early church. They baptized those that confess that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. And what else? Why should we baptize? Because we validate our faith. We validate our faith. How do we validate our faith? By obeying the word of God. Jesus says, those that love me, obey my commandments. John 14. Those that love me, obey my commandments. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will follow his commandments. We have been laying a lot of foundation on Christ since Easter, or before Easter rather. We've been trying to teach a lot on Christ and what his death, his life, his burial, and his resurrection means. And then we taught also on the Holy Communion. There are two ordinances that Jesus introduced to the church. One is the Holy Communion. I think we did that last 2 weeks ago when we actually did the Holy Communion. And then this one is the second ordinance that Jesus introduced to the church, is water baptism. It's an important thing. That's why we're just trying to go back to those foundations, those doctrines that need to be known by the church. And that's why we're teaching it. And we're not only teaching it today, we will demonstrate it. So Jesus makes that connection between salvation and baptism. That's why we talk about it. So water baptism is therefore an essential part of your life as a believer. It's important because it's part of obedience. If I may teach this properly, I would say water baptism is not optional for a believer. Water baptism is not optional for a believer. To refuse to be baptized is to reject the lordship of Jesus over this area of your life. Over this area of your life, you are choosing to reject the lordship of Jesus Christ. So what are the prerequisites for baptism? What is required of me if I want to be baptized? Number one, so we know that, before I get into that, let me explain. So baptism in itself does not mean you are saved. Or rather, baptism in itself does not save anyone. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get saved, then you are baptized. That is the order in Scripture. Water cannot save anybody. It is the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Savior, that brings one to salvation. For it is by grace that you have been, and it is through faith that you are saved. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. I realize we're having problems here. So, faith is required for one to come to salvation. But there are two requirements, maybe three, but two key requirements required for you to be saved or for you to be baptized. Number one is repentance. If you're going to be baptized in water, you've got to repent. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we cannot be baptized if we have not repented. What is to repent? To repent is to turn away from your ways and choose the way of Jesus Christ. It's to confess your sins and invite Jesus into your life so that your sins can be forgiven. What sin? The sinful nature that we were born with from Adam. That is the sinful nature. Stealing is a symptom. It's not just a sin. It's a symptom of our sinful nature. The second requirement is faith. Faith. Acts 8 verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Because they had believed in Jesus, they then qualified to be baptized in water. That is a requirement. That means that one must be old enough to understand what salvation is. You must be old enough to understand what you are doing when you say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. That is a requirement of faith. So therefore, in Sheffield Community Church, we do not baptize a 3-month-old baby. We don't baptize an 8-month-old baby because they don't understand what repentance is. So therefore, we wait. Instead of baptism, we do baby dedication. Baby dedication essentially is putting pressure on the parents to raise that child in an environment that will open that child to say yes to Jesus. That's what it means. So the pressure is on the parents and not the child per se. So those are the two requirements. Repent and have faith in order to be baptized. Let's go a little bit deeper. What really happens in baptism? What is taking place when we baptize someone? We are simply baptized because of the commandment of God. We follow what Jesus said, and therefore by faith we get baptized. Everyone who goes into water of baptism should expect five things by faith. And they're on the screen. Just take a picture if you're a slow writer like me. The first is identify with them. When you're being submerged into the water, you are identifying with Jesus Christ. Now, we didn't know this until we read what is explained in Romans chapter 6. If we could go to Romans chapter 6, verse 3, please. Because it is Paul who gives us insight into what we're doing here today. I'm sure some of you have done swimming lessons before. Were you being baptized when you're doing swimming lessons in Ponds Forge? Most likely not. But Paul brings a new meaning to this whole experience of being submerged in water when you're a Christian. Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We're baptized into. How does that happen? Well, this is the issue, isn't it? He died and he was buried. Jesus died, didn't faint. He died and then he was buried. So Paul then says, believers, when they are being baptized, they are identifying with the death of Jesus Christ. We are baptized into his name. And the way we enter into him is by salvation, and then we symbolize the whole experience by being baptized. And then he says, we also were identifying with him in his burial. Verse 4 says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. How? When we were submerged in the water. Okay? So in the spirit sense, when we're submerged in the water, it's as though we're being buried just as Christ was. And then thirdly, we identify with him in his resurrection. As you can see, verse 4. We identify with him in his resurrection. Says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So we're identifying with him in three ways. Number one, in his death. Number two, in his burial. And number three, in his resurrection. This is what water baptism means. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're not being identified with him, something is missing in your faith. Because the foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ. The chief cornerstone of our faith is Jesus Christ. The life we have is life that we receive from Jesus Christ. And therefore, we identify with him in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. But also, we identify with Jesus with new victory over a life dominated by sin. Romans tells us that we were slaves to Satan. We were slaves to our flesh. But we are no longer slaves to the flesh or to Satan, but we now are instruments of righteousness in the hands of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. So we are now servants of the righteousness of God. And also, as we are being baptized, there is spiritual cleansing and renewal that is taking place. The water itself does not cleanse you. We're not taking a shower down here. It doesn't cleanse anybody here. Okay, there's a water represents the Holy Spirit. Okay, so It's the cleansing that is taking place. The renewal is done by the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's done by the Holy Spirit. Listen to Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Acts 22, verse 16. Media team, help me. The Bible says, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." Calling on his name. And then number D is you identifying with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Media team, I need you to sprint with me here. Acts 8 verse 16 says, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay? And then if you look at Acts 10 verse 48, the Bible says, so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. They were to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They were identifying with the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 19 verse 5, I believe. Acts 19 verse 5 says, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So you're not being baptized in the name of Anderson or Phil. You are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's important you understand that. It's important you understand that. So baptism, in a sense, is equivalent to marriage. Okay? It's equivalent to marriage in the sense that when the wife puts on marriage, like someone we saw on Friday, lovely wedding. What happens is, she's no longer called by her maiden name. Is that not so? She now has a new surname, Mrs. So-and-so. Amen? See, women are blessed. You know, can I say something? You see, I don't get to change my surname. You're stuck. I'm stuck with it. But women, you know, if your surname is a bit, just get married. You change it. Someone say example, example. As I was saying. So, because she has a new name, all of a sudden she has legal rights to everything the husband owns or possesses. She has a right, a legal right to her husband's home, to her husband's possessions. So when we are baptized and identify with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens is we put on Christ. We take on his name because we've been baptized into his name. And now he says, you are co-heirs with me. He says, ask anything in my name and it will be yours. So we now have the name of Jesus Christ upon us. We've taken on a new name in the Spirit. We are now identified with Jesus Christ. So we are Christians, legal Christ. That's what happens. And then I'm going to spend a bit more time explaining another reason or what happens when we're baptized. The circumcision of the heart. The circumcision of the heart. This is an important term. It comes from the Old Testament. What is the significance of circumcision? See, Paul is the one that connects circumcision with water baptism. That's why we have to go back and say, where is Paul getting this from? Paul is getting it from Genesis chapter 17, verse 10 to 14. It's the story of Abraham. When God called Abraham and gave him promises, he says to him, okay, Abraham, this will be a sign that I'm committed to you. This will be a sign of a covenant I'm entering with you. So this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep. Every male you shall be circumcised. Keep going. You are to undergo circumcision and it will be the sign of the covenant between you and me, verse 12, for the generations to come, every male among you who's 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. So God says to Abraham, listen, this is the deal. For you to carry the promise of the covenant, you have to carry the sign. And this sign was carried by males. That meant they had to be circumcised. Now, how does that relate to New Testament? Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sin, my goodness, this translation, can I read mine? Okay, you're confusing me. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in this uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. So Paul is saying, in the New Testament, what was done in the natural is now done in the spiritual. It's now a situation where there's a spiritual experience of circumcision in your heart. And this is done by the Holy Spirit. It's done by God. The natural consisted of four elements. When they were doing it in the natural, in the Old Testament, the first thing that happened is there was the cutting away of the flesh. So in the New Testament, what in baptism, we are putting off the old man. It's not a physical procedure. It's a spiritual procedure where they're cutting away of the sinful nature. That's what he's talking about, the cutting away of the sinful nature. But there's also the shedding of the blood. In baptism, death itself meant that blood had to be shed. Jesus died. And when he died, blood was shed. It is that by that blood that our sins are forgiven. And then on the eighth day, the Jews still practice this. On the eighth day, if it's a male child, he's circumcised on the eighth day. So, but eighth day in the Bible signifies a new beginning. It's a new day. So we on the eighth day, it's a newness of life. Life begins. So when we are coming out of the water or when we're being baptized, there's significance in that something new is beginning in our lives. Amen. Amen. And then a new name is given, because when you become circumcised in the old, you became a child of the covenant. But in the New Testament, we now belong to Jesus Christ. A new name has been given. Listen to Colossians 1:19. For example, it says, for God was pleased, come on, media team, catch up with me. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Let's try the King James. For God was pleased to have, no, King James. Let's use the King James. There's a word I'm looking for. For God was pleased to have the Godhead dwell in him. The fullness of the Godhead dwell in him. So we have the Godhead. The Godhead has a name, and it is the fullness of the power of the Godhead that has been invested in that name. And we've been given that name. So all throughout Scripture, when God changed a name, it meant that the nature also had changed of that person. For example, Abraham was changed to Abraham. Sarai was changed to Sarah. Jacob was changed to Israel. And these changes were significant. Something shifted when a name was changed. So as God through you in baptism, he expects your nature to change. Amen. So how should we be baptized? I'm almost getting there. How should we be baptized? Scripture is very clear. Baptism is by immersion. Unless there are medical situations that make it difficult. But really, baptizo is about submersion. We will be with you in the water, so you won't drown. You'll be fine. Whenever the Bible is talking about baptism, for example, Acts chapter 8, it's clear that the eunuch went down into the water and was dipped in the water, and then he came out of the water, meaning that there was a pool of water. He was dipped, and this was the minister of finance, by the way, in Ethiopia. Very important man. He got off his limousine and jumped into a dirty river. Minister of finance. Now, if a minister of finance can be dipped in a dirty river, what more you and me? Amen. Amen. So immersion has no exception. You can be baptized today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when you're baptized, baptism, as you will see what we are doing here, we administer it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we don't use any other name. You're not being baptized in the name of SCC. You're being baptized. So, for example, if you were baptized in another church and then you come to SCC and say, you know what, I love this church, I would like to be a member of this church. One of the spiritual requirements of being a member of SCC is water baptism. And so we won't baptize you again. We will only baptize you if the requirements are not met. Number one, repentance. Number two, faith. Faith goes with how old were you when you're baptized. If where you were and you're baptized when you're 3 months old, we have got to baptize you here. And I'm not sorry for saying that. Yeah. If you were baptized because your mom, moms now, volunteered you against your will. We woke up and found your name on the list. And when you go to church, you say, I left my clothes. The mom says, check in the boots. If you are of that kind, we need to baptize you again. Voluntarily. By the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
Someone clap hands for moms. Where would we be without moms? Wonderful people. But scripture is scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. Emotion does not trump scripture. Amen. Scripture has to come first. So we baptize them. We baptize by immersion. We administer it in the name of Jesus. Jesus commanded that baptism be administered in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And which that name the disciples came to use it. And that name that the disciples chose to use, if you notice, if you go to the book of Acts, you know, one might ask, so what is the name? Because if you notice, Jesus says, baptize them in the name of who? Come and help me. In the name of who? The Father and? The question is, those are not names. Are those names? Is your name Father? Those are titles. But what is the name? See, those are titles. So he says, but the disciples, when you read the book of Acts, they seem to have understood what the name is. The name of God the Father, the name of God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the name of the Godhead. Okay? Because Paul says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. In who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the Lord Jesus Christ who walked on earth, in him the Trinity invested the power of God, the authority of God. And that authority is activated by a name.
Yeah.
The name that Paul says the name that is above all other names, the name that is above all titles, all dominions, all powers, all principalities. It is by that name that has been lifted above every other name. And by that name, you will be set free. And by that name, you will be baptized into. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's what we'll do today. It's a big deal to baptize people. It wouldn't be if we're using somebody's name, but if we're using this name that has been given, not unto anyone, but has been given unto men by which all may get saved when they call upon him. The name Jesus Christ. So that's the name we will call today. So we will baptize you upon your confession of your faith in Jesus Christ. So and so, we baptize you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we do here. This is what we do. This is what church is all about. Amen. And maybe even more. Hallelujah. So let me finish with this. So what happens then? So you, the one being baptized, what is your responsibility? Because you see, what happens after we baptize you? Number one is that you break away from the old way of life. You got to. You break away. There's an outward sign of an inner reality that you must live out. Okay? So break away from your old life. You cannot continue in ungodliness. You can't. Because Jesus owns you now. There's a new standard of living that you've got to get into. A new standard of living. This means that from baptism on, there are new principles that you've got to live by. And these principles are principles of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. You live a new life. It means that there are blessings, yes, I know, but there are also obligations to this new life. We are praying for believers that don't only talk, but they walk their talk. There should be no doubt in your house or in your home or in your workplace that you are a believer. There should be no ambiguity about you between your words and your actions. We are looking for those believers. A new standard of living. And thirdly, you must be a disciple of Jesus. What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. A person who says, I live for Jesus. I have no rights. I have responsibilities in Christ. In fact, when Paul is talking about, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word he uses is doulos, which means I am a slave of Jesus Christ. A slave. I have no rights. I do what Jesus tells me to do. Because Jesus came as a servant. And he's expecting us to be followers in the same order. Hallelujah. So that's what we want to do today. I thought I would just bring a teaching on baptism. I hope you learned something. So baptism is a very, very important thing we're doing. It has got some lasting and permanent memories. It's a wonderful thing to do. It's one of the exciting things that you do as a Christian. And it will live for a long time. Amen. So we want to prepare. How are we doing this? You're going to sing or we're going to take testimonies?